If you have your Bibles with you, you could turn with me. Otherwise, you could just listen. We're at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 18. We're back to studying the book of Proverbs, this wonderful book that kind of just shows what it's like to live a godly life. Their Proverbs tend to be just short. Sometimes they're a couple verses long, but they tend to just be short, one or two verses long, condensed wisdom, but for practical life, which is so important for us to learn. Because it's not enough for us to just to learn doctrine and to learn the things that we ought to believe. That's important, but we also need to learn, how do we live a godly life? How do we put this into practice to live as God's people in the world? And Proverbs helps us to that end. So we're picking up where we left off last year, Proverbs chapter 8. Here, let's hear the word of the Lord. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word and pray that you would give us ears to hear and minds to understand it this tonight. As we reflect upon your word, Father, send forth your spirit with your word to do its good work, especially giving us wisdom that we might live in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and in this world wisely, pointing people to the wise one himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, being conformed more and more to his image, he who was wisdom incarnate, that you might be glorified in us. Be with your servant, guard his mind and tongue as he explains your word tonight. And as we reflect on this, Father, may we glorify you and may your church be strengthened. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. Amen. There was a man who was considered the wisest man who ever lived. And some of you may have heard of this man, Socrates. And there was a reason why he was called the wisest man. And why he was considered, because he said he alone knew that he wasn't wise. He's like, that's where great wisdom came from, was recognizing, I really don't know anything. And out of this came this idea among the Greeks that true wisdom is to know yourself. That's where it starts from. It's just knowing yourself. And this proverb is kind of the Hebrew equivalent of this wisdom, even of a man as Socrates recognized. That true wisdom is more than just being able to understand, you know, advanced math, to be able to do like algebra and trigonometry and calculus. That takes some intellectual smarts, as it were. But that's not real wisdom. That real wisdom isn't being able to build skyscrapers or do things. And that's, technical ability is a wonderful thing, and God gave people wonderful brains who could do these amazing things. But that's being smart, that's being an intellectual, that's not necessarily wise. In fact, there's some people with the greatest intellectual abilities that, biblically speaking, are just fools. But there's also people that intellectually, they don't have the greatest intellectual capabilities. They're average, sometimes even below average, but they are incredibly wise in the eyes of God. And that's what we're studying as we study Proverbs and as we study this proverb. Because real biblical wisdom isn't beyond the grasp of any one of us. It doesn't take an incredible amount of intellectual capability. You don't have to take a test first, like when you're going to college, you know, you take your SATs or others to try to prove, okay, am I smart enough to do this? There's no test to become wise biblically. All it takes is a humble heart willing to come and learn from the Word of God. So any of us, from the youngest of us, from the greatest intellect in the congregation to the smallest intellect, each one of us could become wise if we're willing to learn from God's word, reflect on it, and learn those lessons. Because in the last day, it really won't matter all the degrees we have. There's not a test to get into heaven. Do we score high enough? In the end, God will separate all the people of the world, the wise, those who knew him and loved him and walked in his ways, from the fools, those who may have been really smart or whatever, but they wouldn't humble themselves before the Lord. They didn't know God's wisdom, and they'll be cast out. So let's take a little time tonight, just reflect on this. What can we learn about wisdom and where it starts with knowing ourselves? He says this. He says, the wisdom of the prudent, or the wisdom of the wise man, is to understand his way. See, it has nothing to do with how smart he is, right? It has nothing to do with how far did he go in school, how well, is he an intellectual giant of the times? It says the wisdom of the prudent, the wisdom of the wise man, is to understand his way. By his way here means his life, how he's to live it. He says the wisdom of the wise man is to know himself, to know what is his duty, what is his way. Well, where do we learn that? How do we know what our way is? Well, the Bible teaches us that. In Psalm 119, it says over and over again, like, how is a young man to keep his way pure? By keeping according to the Lord's word. Your word is a light unto my feet. I hide your word in my heart. It talks about in Psalm 1, who's the wise man, the greatly blessed man, is the one who walks in God's ways. He meditates on God's law. The law of God shows us ourselves. If you want to know yourself, what are you looking? When you get all dressed up, okay, and you want to know what you look like, what do? You don't ask your husband because you know he's going to lie to you. That's not. And you know he couldn't match colors. He said, oh, yeah, you look wonderful, right? And it's just like, and you go, it's like, how can you let me leave like this, right? Say, well, you should have known better. Don't ask me, right? If you want to really know what you look like, what do? You get in front of a mirror because mirrors don't lie, right? They show you exactly what you put in front of the mirror is what you get out of the mirror. Well, God's law, God's word is our mirror. It shows us what we're really like. This is the story of one of the uses of the law of God. It shows us what we're really like. And here's kind of the sad thing. It's not pretty what we see, is it? When we look in the mirror of God's law, what we see is that we are sinners. That we're all distorted from what we should be. But that's a good thing. Because if we don't realize what we are outside of Christ, we'll never realize that we need Jesus. We won't realize our great need. So when we look and when we let the law of God, the word of God, be a mirror to show us, we see all our sin and we see all that ugliness. We see the ugliness in our hearts and in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds. And then we cry out to the Lord to forgive us of our sins. And we run to Jesus and say, I don't have any hope outside of Jesus because I realize how ugly I am in and of myself. And when we embrace Jesus by faith, what does he do? He gives us his righteousness. So now we're made beautiful in the sight of God in Christ. And now we learn our way. Now we say, okay, now that I've been made beautiful in God's eyes because he's given me the righteousness of Christ, how do I live my life now? How do I understand my way, that real wisdom? Well, we go to God's word now and say, well, how do I honor God as a Christian man? How do I honor the Lord as a husband? What does that look like? Well, I go to God's word and he shows me. How do I honor God as a father? Well, I go to God's word and he tells me how to do that. How do I honor God as somebody's son? Well, I go to God's word and he shows me. This is what it looks like. This is what my duties are. This is how I'm called to live my life. This is what a God-honoring life looks like. Again, that's not what makes us look good, right? The mirror shows us our sinfulness. It shows us our ugliness. And the only thing that could fix that is Jesus. But now, being in Jesus, having a new heart, now what does knowing your way look like? It says, well, let me read the word of God. And it sets forth my duties in every area of life. What I'm responsible for. The Puritans used to call those our relative duties, our duties relative to one another. What do husbands owe to their wives? What do wives owe to their husbands? Parents to children, children to parents. What do employees owe to their employers and employers to their employees? What do the leaders in government owe to their citizens? What do we owe? All these areas of life, the Bible talks about. It says, this is how you conduct yourself as a Christian man or a woman or a Christian young man or a young woman. This is how we live in a way that honors God. See, we're not called to do what's right in our own minds. The Bible says the man that does what's right in his own mind or does his own way is the fool. And that's what the world is always saying. Oh, do whatever feels good. See, whatever seems right in your own eyes. That only leads to death. But when we're wise, we understand our way. We go to the word of God and say, Lord, what do you call me to do? What does godliness look like in my situation? Even though everybody else might be rebelling against you, maybe my spouse wants nothing, they're going to live in their sin. But what's my duty? Or maybe my kids are going astray, but what is my duty as a parent? What am I called to do? Or maybe my parents don't love you at all, but what do you call me to do as a child? And we learn our duty. We understand our way, and that's real wisdom. And that's here for any of you could be wise that way. But it takes some work. First, it takes the work of humility, of getting out of our own pride and saying, I know everything, or I know the right way. Or don't tell me, it says, listen, I don't know. I need God's word to teach me. I need to come to Jesus because I'm ugly. My own way is a way of sin, and I need him to put me on the right path. I need to come to him. I need a new heart and a new life. But now I need to come to him and say, Lord, you show me. You show me what right looks like in life. And grant me grace to do it. So it means you need to study the word of God. And that's why, children, the most important thing you could ever study is the Bible. Now, is that going to make you lots of money? Probably not. Okay? There's not a whole lot of you. I went to Bible college. I got a Bible degree. With a Bible degree and a dollar, I could get coffee at Wawa. That's about what it'll do in terms of making you money. It's not, but because people don't put a great value on knowing the Bible, but it's valuable for all of your life. And it's more valuable than anything else. Because you could be the smartest person. You could build tall buildings. You could figure out all kinds of physics. You could do all that and still end up in hell. And what good is it in the end, right? Not that you shouldn't work hard in math and all your subjects. But what really matters is understanding the word of God. Because that's what makes you wise. You could study your other things and become smart. But you have to study the word of God to become wise. So that's where we start. When we're young people and as we get older. Now, some of you didn't have the advantage of growing up in a Christian family. So you're starting behind the curve a little. But the wonderful thing is, the Bible is simple enough for each one of us to start off with. A wise man once said this about the Bible. Said, the Bible is shallow enough for a little child to wade in, but it's deep enough for an elephant to drown in. So there's something in the Bible for every one of us. We never outgrow it because there's always depths to it. You're right. The more we start, we realize, wow, this is deeper than I thought. There's things here to understand that are very deep, but it's so shallow, it's easy enough for even the youngest of our children to understand the basic truths that we're sinners who need a Savior, that God's way is always the right way. That holiness will always, in the end, lead to happiness. That sin will always lead to sorrow. That's something even our youngest children could understand. So parents, make sure your children, if they're educated in nothing else, make sure they know the word of God. So wisdom, the wise man understands his way. How do we understand our way? By going to the Bible. It shows us our sin and our need for a Savior. And then drives us to the Savior, coming to the Savior, then it shows us how to live our lives in a way that honors God. So we want to live, can we say, a reflective life, asking yourself, what am I doing? Why am I doing that? Why am I acting the way? And why am I doing these things? Is it in accordance with God's word? If it's out of accord, how do I bring my life in line with God's word more and more? But then he gives the opposite, and he says, what is the fool like? He says, the folly of fools is deceit. Says the folly of fools, or you could say the wisdom of fools. Well, what is it? What is their great folly? It's deception. And the biggest deception they have is the worst deception there could be, self-deception. Self-deception is when you don't look in the mirror and you go out and you look terrible and you're ugly and you think you're beautiful. And you wonder why all the world isn't in love with you and you realize it's because I'm hideous. I didn't look in the mirror. Okay? Have you ever done that? You've walked out and you didn't realize you had two different shoes on? Or your outfit doesn't match because you didn't take time to look in the mirror. Or there's something else going on. You had a mark on you somewhere and you never looked, right? And you end up looking like a fool. And when you thought you were looking wonderful, you thought, I was looking so cool. This was wonderful. And then, wow, look, now you find out the truth. And you're like, this is terrible because I didn't understand. Well, that's what we're like when we're self-deceived. When we think, I'm really a somebody and my way is always the right way. And it's contrary to God's word. What we really are is fools. But that's what the world teaches us to do. The world's always telling you, just be yourself. That's enough. Just be the best you could be outside of Jesus. That you're good enough and you're smart enough. And God will accept you just for who you are. Look, you've done more good deeds than bad deeds. And that's enough. So if you want to do something bad, that's all right. Just balance it out with doing something good. And then you'll be okay. Don't worry about it. If it's good in your own eyes, go and do it. If it feels right, go and do that. That's that deception of thinking, yeah, that'll be okay. That's what the world wants you. It says that's folly. That's not the wisdom of God. There's nobody more deceived than the self-deceived person. They're always telling them, God would never cast me into hell. I'm good enough. I try hard enough. I'm better than most other people. The way I do it, it's always worked for me in the past. I'm just going to keep doing this. And if other people don't like it, well, that's, you know, too bad on them. They're just going to have to learn to deal with me. That's folly. That's not wisdom. Now, you could be really, really, really smart and really be a fool because you deceive yourself into thinking your way is the best way. You deceive yourself and you think you're smarter than God, your way is better than God's. And you think, who would ever really say that? But I can tell you, after years of being a pastor, and you can talk to any of the elders, and they'll probably tell you similar stories. You talk to people and you say, well, this is what God's word says about what you should be doing with your life, maybe dealing with your marriage or dealing with your kids, dealing with your job. And they'll say, well, you don't understand my wife. Or that'll never work. You don't understand my kids. Or that'll never work here because you don't understand my job. And what are they saying? Oh, no, my way's smarter than God's. I know better than God what'll work and what won't work. So I'm not going to do things God's way. I'm going to do it my way because my way is better. That, people, is the essence of foolishness. It's saying, I know better. And you don't. That's folly. So the proverb sets before two different kinds of people, right? Here's the wise man and here's the fool. And it has nothing to do with how smart you are. Isn't that good to know? I tell you, that brings me a lot of comfort because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. Okay, I'm not some astrophysicist kind of thing. I could barely even pronounce the word, let alone figure out what they do with those things, right? It has nothing to do with how smart you are. It has everything to do with whether or not you're going to come to Jesus in repentance and faith and live your life by the word of God. Or whether you're going to go on self-deceive, think, I'm good enough, I don't need Jesus, I don't need God's word telling me what to do. I'm okay, my way will work out. That's what distinguishes the wise man from the fool. The wisdom of the wise man is he understands his way. The only way to understand your way aright is to bring it in line with the word of God and say, God, your word is a mirror. It shows me what I'm really like and I need a savior. It's like a map. It shows me where I need to go. It's like an instruction manual. It tells me how to live my life. The folly of fools is deceit. Says, I don't need any of that stuff. I'm smart enough. I've got this figured out. I'm good enough. I know what I'm doing. And he keeps deceiving himself and he dies in his sins. So why be a fool when you could be wise? Why be cast out at the last day with all the fools? No matter how smart you are, to be cast out with the fools because you turn your back on God and his word when God offers you wisdom for free. College costs a lot, right? It costs a lot to be smart in one sense. If you want to get all that education, Jesus offers it to you for free. You go to his college, it doesn't cost you anything. He just says, just open my word and I'll teach you. And that's available for all of you, from the youngest little ones here to our oldest, most seasoned saints. We need to come to the word of God that we could understand who we are and understand our way, understand our duties. And as we do that more and more, we'll grow in wisdom. And may it be said of each of you at the last day, that though you may have never been really smart, though maybe you were never really successful in things, you were wise in God's eyes. And may it never be said of you that God looks at you and says, you fool, you wouldn't turn to me, you wouldn't obey my word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we are born as fools and we have foolish hearts. And we love to be self-deceived. We love to think that we're good enough and we're smart enough and our way is always the best way. Father, break us of that self-deception. And may we see ourselves for who we are, using the law of God as a mirror. May we see ourselves as sinners who need a Savior. And then coming to Jesus in repentance and faith and being cleaned up of all of our filthiness, may we then use your word as a map to guide our footsteps. And as an instruction manual to teach us how to know our way, to how to live our lives in such a way to please you. And may it be said of all of your people here at the last day that they were wise, Father, lest they die the death of the fool, cast out of your kingdom. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. Amen.